You can publish a polished and professional looking magazine. We'll tell you how on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Digital media expert Larry Jenkins is with us today, and I'm curious, why should every business have a digital magazine? Why should they publish a digital magazine?
Well, I think it's really simple. Every business exists to make sales, or at least that's the thing that has to happen for them to do all the good work. So they go through all of these marketing gyrations that range from advertising to PR to trade shows in order to generate leads and awareness and eventually sales. Mm-hmm. My belief is that every business would be better off, and probably it's the shrewdest marketing move that they could make, if they owned the media that their customers read. And that's what's possible today.
Mm. How have you managed to run a successful digital marketing company basically on a shoestring?
Well, you know, I'm very fortunate because the times have changed. When I started in the magazine business working for, you know, big publishing companies, to run a small trade magazine, we budgeted $1 million just to launch the magazine. Today, the way the technology has evolved, anyone can literally launch a magazine if they're willing to put in the work for literally $0, or if they don't want to do it all themselves, for a couple $1,000s, and literally have a business that has seven-figure annual potential for themselves.
Mm, wow. Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and then via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable rating on iTunes, and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super duper co-host, Nancy Goering.
Hi, Frank.
We've got a special guest today. You know that?
We have Larry Jenkins?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
You gave it away. You're not let me build it up.
You know what? Why do you do this to me? All I try to do is cooperate. Good morning, Larry, since I've already blown it.
Good morning.
This wonderful guest that we have will help us develop an understanding of digital publishing. He's been declared a great marketing mind by business legend Robert Allen and has captured the respect of billionaires, CEOs, best-selling authors, and marketing gurus, and has personally launched 26 magazines in over 10 industries and worked with over 100 media companies, including USA Today, Forbes, Time, Newsweek, Inc., and Fortune. Today, he's recognized as one of the world's foremost experts on digital media. So, if you, like me, want to know what kind of toll this wonderful media or form of media
or any business
can how this can benefit your business.
Yeah.
What the major traps in the marketing industry are to avoid so that you can have longevity for your business, and how to keep your relationship strong in the business world, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with digital marketing expert and the founder and CEO of 11 of 11 Media and the creator of the Mag Titan and Ad Einstein suites of software. He is Larry Jenkins. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Nancy. Great to be here.
Before we get too deep in our primary subject matter, which is you today, Larry, is I want to check in to see kind of what's going on in the relationship world. So, Larry, as we ramble about this a little bit, please don't be bashful. Make sure you weigh in. We want to hear your opinion, too. All right. I got something Tom Hanks said.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Truth is, I'll never know all there is to know about you, just as you'll never know all there is to know about me. Humans are by nature too complicated to be understood fully, so we can choose either to approach our fellow human beings with suspicion or to approach them with an open mind, a dash of optimism, and a great deal of candor. I love it.
You'll
never know all there is to know about me, and I won't know all there is to know about you. Can we be comfortable with that?
I think so. My grandparents were married for 37 and a half years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother said, I was married to your grandfather for 37 and a half years. And after all that time, I still didn't know him.
Mm. That sounds like humility and wisdom.
So this to me is essentially that summing up the same thing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Larry, you're in the marriage game, I understand. What do you think of that quote?
Well, it's interesting because I just had my 28th wedding anniversary, and on the same day, my eldest daughter got married. So, you know, it's very interesting. I think that different people bring out different sides of our personalities. And so when you're with a spouse for so long, you know, you tend to have this one way, and then you go out with a different group of friends, and it brings out a whole different side of you that, you know, maybe didn't even know or doesn't come out unless you're, you know, in that change of scenery. So I think that's very true, because a spouse is only exposed to a certain range of emotions and aspects of a person.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of how you deal with other people or what other people bring out of you, I've always thought it was interesting to see how someone sitting at a table with you at a restaurant, how they interact with the waitress or the waiter. I've always thought that was an interesting dynamic to witness.
Hmm.
You ever thought about something like that?
How they interact with the waiter. Typically, I'm watching how people interact with one another when they're supposed to be together.
Well, I'm talking about you. You're sitting there with somebody.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, Prince Charming on the other end. And of course you're going to be.
Listen, that can totally set the tone for the whole interaction, how he interacts with the waiter.
Yeah.
No question. Well, yeah.
I have a fascinating, you know, on that exact topic. My mother-in-law is like Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde when it comes to waiters and waitresses. And here is the nicest, most generous woman, and yet you hear the tone in her voice, the way that she interacts with waiters, it's boggling to where this comes from. So it's funny that you say that, Frank, because I'm fascinated by that, at least in her example.
Jeff, I saw you queue up.
Well, only because I can tell immediately if someone has been in the service industry by mm-hmm. the way they treat someone, mm-hmm. waiter, waitress, busboy, bellhop.
Room attendant. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does speak to their level of consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding what a dollar's worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm out with someone, even a business associate, and they're inconsiderate or impatient or roll their eyes, you know, it says a lot to me about their lack of understanding
mm-hmm.
of what it takes to serve and please clients and customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, on the business side, I never take any of that personally, but I've been a waiter. From
right.
from Pizza Hut to a high echelon resort,
mm-hmm.
so everything in between. So, and I made my son do it too, and
really?
I did make him
really?
Do get the classifieds. And one summer he served at an Austin Grill,
uh-huh.
and it certainly did teach him a lot about humility and how to deal with people.
Okay,
that's great.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm not saying exactly what I would take from it in terms of I'm sitting with someone. My wife doesn't really qualify. I mean, maybe she did when the first time we sat down together. Well, I was checking that out, and maybe the first 10 times. But, you know, as we're dealing with someone, maybe even in business, I'm not saying what I would do if that person was rude to the waiter or waitress. I'm just saying I would be in tune. I'd be gathering an interesting tidbit of information.
Well, I have an interesting heads up for you.
Oh, boy.
So my mom used to work for a major company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she said that they had started this kind of interesting hiring or pre-hiring practice of inviting a potential new hires to say, share a meal, you know, have lunch, something like that. So they're in the cafeteria and there are two guys that they're looking at hiring. One of them, maybe just a little more so than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to the cafeteria and they're just, you know, getting lunch and everything. So the guy that they're really excited about is rude to one of the cafeteria attendants
mm-hmm.
in a way that gets the attention of all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
He did not get the job.
Mm. I understand.
He did not get the job. And this and believe me, this was a six-figure job.
Mm. I mean, often there are people who believe that to be rude shows that you're
in control, in command.
Yes, better.
Right, right. So. And we're living in a much more circular world these days.
Yeah, well.
Not, you know, and that whole 6 degrees of separation thing is real. You may be talking to a waiter whose best friend is somebody you'd love to know.
Mm-hmm. We've gone a long way from Tom Hanks.
Indeed.
But it's
the nature of the show there.
all right, Larry, let's get to the good stuff. What do you do?
Well, if you asked me that question a year ago, I would have said I publish magazines. Today, our company is a software company. We now took the software that we built for our own magazine, because the software on the market was completely archaic, and we just felt like it can't be that hard to build software. And we were wrong about that, by the way. naivete does for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we built our own that takes advantage of all the power of computers and tablets and these wonderful smartphones. And as we started to release our own magazines using this software, other publishers saw it and they said, wow, how could I use it for our magazine?
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, we couldn't. It wasn't built that way. I couldn't give it to people. But we realized, you know, by literally dumb luck, that we probably have a better opportunity, a better business, letting other people use this great software that we've built than just using it ourselves for our own magazine. So that's where we transitioned. We made this software so anybody can use it on a self-serve basis. We even let them use it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, people can come in, build a magazine completely for free and use the software. So now I would consider myself a software developer.
What's a digital magazine? Is it basically, I mean, when I think of a digital magazine, the first thing that comes to mind is maybe Constant Contact or something like that.
Or that I can only get it if I'm online. Mm, yeah. I mean, that's all I'm thinking.
Well, what traditionally has been a digital magazine has been print publishers basically take a PDF, an image of their magazine, and put it into this very unsophisticated page flipper software. And basically, it's an image of the print magazine shrunk down.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that, as you might guess, you have a magazine that's designed, you know, in 8.5 by 11 size, and you smush it down onto a computer, it becomes hard to read. Then you smush it down further to a tablet, it becomes even harder to read. And, you know, where most of the reading is occurring today is on these iPhones and these smartphones, mm-hmm. and you squish it down there, it's invisible without pinching and zooming and squinting, and it's a horrible experience. And so what we've done is we've designed this software so that you could take a magazine is nothing more than a collection of content, right? That's all that any magazine really is, about a particular topic area.
Mm-hmm.
And we now make it so that the pages are animated. They redesign themselves. So, you know, if you take a story that might be 5 pages on a tablet, it might be 9 pages on a smartphone because our software is so smart. It knows what kind of device and browser and internet connection the person's on, and it redesigns the page so we don't even have a zoom button, so that they can read in this elegant, animated, interactive fashion. And so I think, you know, what our hard part is, we're so new and so small that we're trying to educate people as to what a digital magazine really is. And, you know, that's what I spend a lot of my time on these days.
Mm. How do you make money if you're giving everything away? It sounded as though individuals can do this for free.
Well, they can. So we have a couple different ways that we make money. So while we have a free license, so you could use the software, in that exchange, we insert some ads, and we even share some of the revenue with the publishers who publish for free from the ads that we bring in, but we get the lion's share. And then as we also have paid licenses that offer additional services, such as we can do the design for you, and so we can make money off of the licenses. We have design services and circulation services, so if you don't have designers or you don't have readers, we can bring that to you, and then we have a fair price for that. And then, of course, there's the advertising where, you know, a lot of people want to publish a magazine, but they don't want to get into the whole, you know, selling game. So we have a whole network. That's what our Ad Einstein product is, where we can bring advertisers to our publishers so that they can have revenue, and they can only focus. They only have to focus on creating great content.
So you have someone who is a business owner, but they don't feel like they would be a good person for bringing in content. You know, they've got a product, they believe in their product, they believe in their mission, but in terms of getting interviews and whatever have you that goes into running a magazine, they're doubtful. How do you boost them, or how do you get them enrolled so much in the digital publishing industry or the component of what you're suggesting that they do, so that they're ready to roll with it?
Well, it first comes from them understanding and really thinking about their reality when it comes to marketing, right? So a business owner works every day trying to generate leads and sales for their business. And it's hard in many industries because it's very, very competitive. Mm-hmm. So you can either compete in this red ocean, this bloody war against your competitors, or in the case of owning the media, that's what I talk about, don't rent the media, because when you run an ad, you're renting the media, right? You stop paying for that ad. You stop getting access to that audience, right? It just goes away. They're not going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. But when you own your own magazine, you can build a massive database that's very targeted for your product or service, and that's a key part of this. So you have to first convince them that strategically this is a very ninja kind of move.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead, Nancy.
Larry, the thing that I appreciated about the conversation we had prior to today was you used the term thought leader.
Mm-hmm.
And you said if you want to be a thought leader in your industry, then this is definitely a way to go.
Well, absolutely. Think about to transact business, if we bring it down to the nuts and bolts, people have to, one, know about you and your business, and they have to trust you and your business, right? That's why having a degree of authority is probably the best thing that any business can do to help make the sales cycle shorter and actually make it so that people will make bigger purchases instead of just dipping their toes in. And that comes from exposure as a thought leader, because when you can contribute to your prospects, let's just call this geeky term that I use, their body of intelligence, right? When you can contribute and basically teach them something that they didn't know before, they'll all of a sudden say, oh my God, Frank or Nancy taught me something. They are experts on this area. I can trust them, which by extension, you know, smooths the way to do business together.
We're sitting here looking at some of the magazines that have been created using your software, and it looks incredible. I mean,
thank you.
It's not even, it's not something that I could imagine anyone that's as unintelligent as I am being able to put together. But yet, based on what we're talking about, I get the impression that I could do this.
Oh, you definitely could.
Yeah, I mean, it's drag and drop, right? So, for example, you know, what people think of a magazine is not what you're looking at, right? It's this hybrid between television and magazines, I think, and the internet, right, and the web. And it's all packaged together. But the cool part about it, and we spent a lot of time working and building this, literally 3 years building this, but those animation tools, those video tools, are all drag and drop. You can create an animation that would take a programmer, you know, an experienced programmer who would write the code for it. It would take them hours to write the code to do a certain animation. You can click, and that animation will happen literally in seconds. Don't like it? You can erase it in seconds and try something else. It's that easy. So, Frank, yes, you could easily do it.
Any suggestions on building an audience? Okay, I put together a great product, and now I need to get somebody to read it.
Right, right. Well, there's two answers to that question. One is somebody who is, let's just call them a real business or a serious business where they have some money to be able to do that. If you have some money, buying a database, like for example, we have a service called Digital Direct, which is amazing because you can take, let's say you wanted to have a magazine for people who are very interested in relationships, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could go on to any group on Facebook or any person who has a Twitter account about relationships, and the Digital Direct service can identify who those group members are. And in about 30% of the cases, because we have a massive database of opt-in emails of over 1 billion opt-in emails, we can match about 30% of those.
Did you say 1 billion?
1 billion with a B, right? So imagine, you know, you take somebody who has a file, who wrote an author on relationships, and they have 100,000 followers. Well, we can probably have email addresses of about 30,000 of those. We can send them an email because they're opted into our service and say, hey, would you like to get Frank and Nancy's magazine on relationships? And some will say no, of course, but many will opt in and say yes. And this service, Digital Direct, only charges on success. So you can say, I'd like to have 12,000 subscribers. And over time, we build that up. So that's one way.
Mm-hmm.
The other way of building readers is nothing more than the blocking and tackling of internet marketing, which typically means doing social media and sharing the great stories that you've published out there, doing emails, working joint ventures where, for example, our technology has embed codes just like YouTube. So if you go to, let's say, an association who's always looking for great content to put on their website, you give them the embed code for either a story or your whole magazine, mm-hmm. and then your magazine becomes available on their website for all of their members. And it's really, really easy to do. So I actually have, you know, a lot of this on our website, magtitan.com. You'll be able to get all sorts of videos that go into this particular issue. And but it's a very important one because at the end of the day, Frank, there are three things that somebody needs to do if they're going to be a successful publisher. And I'm not talking about people who want to do it for their own business, because for those people, there's only two things that you need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And the first two are you have to put out great content and you have to get readers, yeah. right? Okay. You mm-hmm. do those two things and you have a business, you can be successful because you build a database and sell your product or service. If you're an entrepreneur and you want to be successful publishing, the third thing you have to do is be able to sell advertising. Mm-hmm. And we have all sorts of tools that make it automated so that people can sell advertising literally while they sleep.
So advertising is still a big part of the digital magazine, the magazine business.
Well, it is, but here's the thing that's really cool about it. And most publishers, most experienced publishers, don't get this or are so stuck in their ways that they can't get out of their own way. What most publishers do today is they give away ads in their digital edition to people who buy ads in their print publications. So they make nothing digitally. Mm-hmm. Our software is like Google AdWords, right? What happens is people can come in, they can set their own budget. So you only have $112, great, advertise for $112. Mm-hmm. And we also have pay-per-performance ads. So what we say is, if somebody flips past your ad and doesn't click on it or doesn't spend time on it, in our world we call it a 10-second threshold.
If they don't
spend at least 10 seconds on it, they don't pay. But mm-hmm. if they click on it or spend 10 seconds on their ad, we charge them. And in most cases, the charge is somewhere around $1. And so it's a great model for advertisers. Plus, advertisers can get an infinite number of pages in their ads that are completely interactive. So you click a link, a new page opens up, a video plays, a testimonial plays, an order form opens up. So it's far beyond what you can do in any traditional form of advertising.
All right. That's intense.
Why magazines? How'd you get started on just simply, I guess, you've been doing it for a long time. How'd you get started in any and all of this?
Well, so I started in print magazines, and I worked on trade magazines back in the day. My first magazine that I worked on as a sales rep selling advertising was called Imaging Business. And this was a magazine when we actually thought scanners were an industry. And what I eventually came to understand was that magazines were very powerful in our culture. You know, you can develop, we talked about thought leadership beforehand, right? You can become a thought leader de facto by being an author of a book.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's so many people don't read that long. You know, most books never sell more than 5,000 copies. Mm-hmm. But you have a magazine, you can get literally hundreds of thousands of people reading that magazine. So it's and a magazine is much easier to produce. I can show anybody how they can have their magazine that's really high quality launched in 30 days. It's really not that hard. And literally they can do it for free or for, you know, very little out-of-pocket money. So that's where magazines are very leverageable and very powerful. And the reason I got into digital magazines was literally because I failed at print. I literally lost everything. I had four print magazines, and this was back in 2007. And literally, I went under, and I declared personal bankruptcy. It was a horrible, horrible time. And, you know, you talk about relationships, and keeping my marriage together while I went through this was, you know, one of the hardest things I've ever done. Hmm. And but through that challenge, that horrific time, I realized that the reason we failed was because readership was going digital, going from print to digital, mm-hmm. and advertising was migrating from print to digital. And I had that inspiration that came from a mentor of mine, a self-made billionaire named Bill Bartman, who is from Oklahoma in his own homespun way. He said, you know, being successful in business isn't hard. All you got to do is be the leader. And he said, and being the leader isn't hard. All you have to do is figure out where the herd is running and go get out in front of them.
Get in front.
And
wow.
he said it is, you know, tongue in cheek, but I really took that to heart. I said, okay, the herd is running digitally. How can I get out ahead of them? And that's what led us to where we are today.
And if you, I haven't heard you say that you had any particular experience with software or anything like that. So how did you make the jump from publishing to, I guess, programming
developing
and
software development?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I didn't. And this is where sometimes being, you know, naive and uninformed actually works out to help you. I have a partner who was with me on those print magazines that went under, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person who immigrated to the United States from Czech Republic. English is a second language with literally $400 in his pocket. Okay, cleaned movie theaters and Walmarts at night, but he had a passion for technology. Mm-hmm. And what he would do is he was all self-taught, but he heard me speak one time and then started doing work for me. And he would say, hey, you should be doing this. And I would say, okay. And then next thing I know, 48 hours would go by and he'd build me a website and do all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, it was his expertise that he, you know, I said, we got to do something digital. And it was together with the core team of us and him, who was the brains of all the technology, who started to build this. We literally thought that it would take 3 or 4 months to build the software. But because I was this experienced business guy, I said, okay, it's going to take longer than we think. So we'll estimate 6 to 8 months
right.
to build
we'll
it.
Double it.
Well, it took 3 years, right?
Wow.
But that's how it happened.
This is Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too old to be considered young and too young to be considered old. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create better parents and partners and business owners. See, because business owners are parents and partners.
Scary often. Thought.
You can find this in our archive show. They're well over 100 at franklove.com on Blog Talk, iTunes, and Stitcher. Larry, what do you enjoy most about what you do?
The creation. You know, I guess I've learned in my 50 years of life that I just like creating things. And it's the thinking about what publishers need. Because publishers right now, the world that I came from, they're dying, right? And it's every day you see another publication shuttering its stores. You see layoffs that are happening throughout media. And I thought, it's crazy that, you know, there has to be a better way, especially when you see these powerful digital devices. And so we've developed not only the software, but literally a new business model for publishers. And I love creating that. Think about this, right? The economics of it. And it blows my mind that we have many more people using our software who are business people and entrepreneurs than publishers, because publishers are so stuck in their ways. And but look at the economics of this. Imagine that you make $1 every time somebody clicks on an ad, right, which is what our software allows.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 100 people who you can bring into your magazine, and let's say each person, while they read the magazine and spend 15 minutes with your magazine or 3 minutes, whatever time they spend, let's say they click on one ad, right? Well, if you have 100 people and they all click on one ad, you made $100 as the publisher. Well, if you have 1,000 people reading it, you made $1,000. If you have 10,000 people, you made $10,000. And today, publishers, traditional publishers, are making zero from their digital product, literally zero, because they're giving it away to their print advertisers.
Isn't and that so dollar, like, a little strong? I thought online...
Say that again?
Isn't that dollar a little strong? I thought online you might only be getting a nickel for every time somebody engaged your ad, because so many people could engage your ad. That could get super expensive, I'm thinking.
But it depends on how powerful your magazine is. It depends on how, because you create a targeted audience, and if someone wants to get that targeted audience,
okay,
there. So if it's a general audience, I can imagine it'll be okay. 5 cents. But if it's targeted, if I'm a if I'm a real estate developer and I want to reach out to people in that industry, and I go to a real estate developer magazine,
a community of that. Yeah. Okay.
That's
okay.
My answer. But what's yours, Larry?
Well, you're exactly right. We have some trade publishers. For example, I have an insurance magazine publisher called 24/7 Annuities, who's charging $5 per what we call a verified view. And a verified view is either a click or a 10-second view. I have a magazine called Spa Retailer, who's charging $10 per view. What you're talking about, Nancy, and you're not wrong, is all of these banner ads that are a nickel or under a dollar, what they call CPM, or per 1,000.
Okay.
And the reason that those prices are so low is because there's banner blindness. When was the last time you clicked on a banner ad on purpose? Right?
Yeah, typically, I'm clicking the X to get rid of it.
Right. It's very, very rare. And so banner ads don't work. And so what we offer, and also, so what you're also referring to is like the Google pay-per-click ads, where they range from a nickel on the low end to tens of dollars, depending on the keyword. But there you only get, you know, a couple hundred characters of text. In our ads, not only is it targeted exactly what Frank said, which is correct, but every ad is not only full page, but it contains an infinite number of pages. So, for example, we have a BMW ad where it says on the front page, are you interested in SUVs, sedans, or coupes? Then if they click SUVs, then it shows them all the models of SUVs. You click on a model of SUVs, and it gives you a video test drive and all this information about it. So literally, instead of a couple characters of text, you're getting, you know, this basically it's like a website inside your ad. And so you can do so much more than an advertiser says, I get to set my own budget. Well, let me test this. I'll test it with a
Well, Larry, the ads could be so sexy, I forget to read the articles.
Well, you know what? But in many magazines, to that exact point, especially trade magazines, one of the major reasons that the readers read is to look at the ads and see what new products and services are offered for their particular industry. So you're exactly right.
And if you're looking at my magazine and you click on one of the ads, and you're paying me $5.
You don't
come back to my Mac. Yeah, you're good with me.
Well, and you know what, Frank? Our technology, you click on the ad, you stay in the magazine. That's one of the things that we built, because it's silly to take them out of the magazine, because that's one, bad for the publisher, because we want them to click on lots of ads and we want them to read our content and share our content. But it's also bad for the advertiser, because the readers are in your magazine because of your content. If you click on their ad and you force them to leave the magazine to go to the advertiser's website, a percentage of those people will never get back. So the advertiser just lost the lead that they would have otherwise got. So we build it so it's all self-contained, and literally it all, even they can literally place credit card orders within the ad within your magazine.
Hmm. Nice.
How close do you find yourself getting to individuals who have magazines using your software? So, you know, I mean, have you created relationships with people who use your software?
We're a small business. I mean, literally, there's a group of us, a core group of about five of us. We have also some designers and things like that, but the core management team is five people. And so, yes, I literally handle support calls. I'm on, you know, publishers are asking advice all the time. So most of my publishers today on the platform, I've communicated with it at some point in time.
Hmm. Okay. On the relationship side, on the, I guess, romantic relationship side, we've been talking about relationships quite a bit. You've got a few magazines. Let me throw it out there and get your summary of what they are, what they talk about, all of that good stuff. Couples Max.
One of my favorites, you know, Couples Max magazine, this was back when we were actually producing our own magazines and looking for niche topics. Mm-hmm. Well, we thought, you know what, there's all these magazines for men, and there's even more magazines for women.
I was about to say, you said men first, and that when I think of all these magazines, I'm certainly thinking all these magazines for women. But you you cleaned it up. You said there's more for women.
There's more for women, but there's none for couples. And you think about all the problems that we have with divorce in our country. Well, why isn't there a magazine about making your life, your romantic life, not even your romantic life, romance is part of it, right? Your life with your partner, exciting, interesting, deep. And that's what Couples Max is, and we cover everything from sex and romance to cooking and all of that. And it's a fascinating magazine, and I think an important one.
It's funny when you said when you said that cooking. When you say cooking as it pertains to relationships, it reminds me of how I try to structure this show, talking about so many different things as it relates to relationships. Mm-hmm. So, you know, relationships isn't just talking about men and women and how they deal directly with one another. It's also things that they can do together, getting a massage together, or traveling, or cooking, or
working.
Yeah, or being concerned about how they are going to survive a police stop, you know, just
whatever,
anything.
Yeah, because you know that, like, there was that article in there, and obviously you've gone through it, because it's funny, right? We had an attorney who said, you go out for a night and you're drinking and you get stopped. Well, how do you handle it, right? And it's maybe helpful, but it's also fun and interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer in publishing that you can't bore people into reading copy that's good for them. You have to make it interesting. And you look at some of the covers, that these video montages for Couples Max, where you see this kind of edgy, sexual kind of thing, and it's an article about, you know, different positions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It comes up to the edge, but I don't think crosses it. But again, isn't that what we want for our romantic relationships, to be interesting and edgy and keep us alive?
Here, here. My hand is
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
All right, next. You got another, and we're talking about the magazine next. Tell us about that one.
Well, so what we just kind of touched on, when a relationship doesn't work, people end up splitting up. And divorce is a horrible problem in our country. And Next is a magazine for people to move beyond their ex, people going through divorce. I had no idea about all the issues that people go through, from custody issues to legal issues to banking issues to real estate and all of this. So Next is the magazine for moving beyond your ex, and it helps people to deal with divorce and move on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Nice.
And finally, Super Baby.
Yes. Well, and that's a magazine for parents, right? We all want the best for our children, and Super Baby is about how do you create exceptional children, whether exceptional means musically, athletically, academically, self-esteem-wise. And the title is meant a little tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, it's all about bringing together experts who can help parents to help their children to be really successful.
What makes your platform better than, let's say, Constant Contact? I'm assuming you know what Constant Contact is because of what you do, and Constant Contact is a big deal.
So tell us what it is for our listeners.
Tell us what it is, and then answer the other question. Why are you better?
Constant Contact is really not in our space, because Constant Contact is a way of managing databases and sending out emails and managing those emails. And a lot of our clients use Constant Contact to send out their magazines. We don't create that piece of the puzzle. What our software Mag Titan. So if you go to magtitan.com, you'll see the software. What we do is we create the software for creating the magazine content, this animated interactive content, the advertising that allows advertisers to create these animated, beautiful ads, and that's all self-contained in the viewer. So the when a reader is reading one of our magazines, that software, the MagTitan viewer, is what we do. So that's the piece that we do. And then they email this out to clients using Constant Contact or Infusionsoft or, you know, dozens of, you know, email service providers.
Ah, so you all may very well complement each other.
Totally a compliment. We're not competitive in any shape. You need to distribute your magazine. I think Nancy touched on it earlier. How do you get this out there? And Constant Contact is a very powerful program. Email is building that database and being able to email your database, your readers, your issue, or when you put out a new update to drive them back into the platform, you know, you need that piece.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with the founder and CEO at Of 11 Media, the creators of Mag Titan and Ad Einstein Suites of Software. He is Larry Jenkin. Larry, would you tell us how to find you?
Well, really, really easy to find. I'm glad the mob's not after me because I'd be a very easy hit. You can get me, email's the best way. Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, at Of 11 Media. So just spell it all out. OfElevenMedia.com. And you could also, I have a free newsletter called the Digital Publishing Prophet that anybody is welcome to subscribe to. If you go to magtitan.com, M-A-G-T-I-T-A-N.com, right on the homepage there, you'll see a little box that anybody can subscribe to the Digital Publishing Prophet. So that's another way of kind of hearing my takes on digital publishing and making money from digital publishing.
Would you say networking has been a key to success for you?
100%.
Really?
100%. No, probably the biggest aspect of it has been my network, whether it's from editorial contributors or to investors. You know, we have a couple angel investors who are behind us, mm-hmm. to even the people who are the early adopters of our platform either come from our network or from my network telling their network, hey, you need to take a look at this. And in fact, we're here because of our network. David Bullock, who's a client of ours and a good friend, you know, made that introduction. So we wouldn't even be talking if it wasn't for network.
True.
How would you say a person should go about? You mentioned Bill Bartman earlier.
Yep.
How would someone, a business owner, go about finding a Bill Bartman to mentor them?
Give first. Mm. That's how I Bill hired, when I went through all the financial troubles that I did, Bill hired me. And he hired me and paid me more than he needed to because I gave first. I came to him. I read a book of his that was amazing. They're called Billionaire Secrets to Success, and it's nothing like you think it would be. It's just an amazing book about psychology and all of this. I highly recommend it. And at the end of the book, not at the very last page, but near the end, so you had to really read the book to see it, he had his email in there. And I wrote to him because I was in publishing. I said, Bill, you've got this amazing book, but you're marketing it terribly. And I gave first. I helped him in marketing that book. And that led him to see that I had a brain in my head and that I knew what I was talking about. And that's what started it. So that's the biggest networking secret that I learned from a great author, business person named Keith Ferrazzi. That just give first, help others, and it will come back to you, and it'll come back to you faster than you ever conceive that it will. Mm.
That's powerful. You got a good book for it? Well, you've already given us a few.
Yeah.
All right. We'll scratch that one. The any good movie, any good story you got as we wrap up?
Let's see. Well, you know, a book. Let me share one book, and I'm not even a religious person. I'm going to jump back to a book that I found fascinating.
You're not allowed to say the Bible.
No, it's not the Bible, but it's a book called Conversations with God.
Neil Donald Walsh.
This book changed my whole perception on life. And it's a guy who lost everything, was homeless, and basically has a conversation with himself that he calls Conversation with God. But he transcribes this dialogue with himself, and it's absolutely fascinating. So I would highly recommend that. And the first movie that pops into my head, and I might lose my man card over this, but
we do that around here.
Probably my favorite movie of all time is possibly Love Actually. And it is all about relationships, and it's just a feel-good movie. And so if you haven't seen Love Actually, watch it with somebody you love, because it'll put a smile on your face, and you can't help but feel good after watching it.
Nice.
Very nice.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with the founder and CEO of 11 Media. That's such a tongue twister. The founder and CEO of 11
Where'd
Media.
Where'd that come from? You got 30 seconds.
And
tell
you know
us.
There's a whole funny story about that. People ask, you know, how did you come up with that crazy name? And the reality is, when we started the company, it wasn't for the publishing. And it was because my father's a partner in the business, and my mom would always yell at the three boys. You know, our bedtime must have been 11 o'clock, right? So she would always yell, "Boys, get to bed, it's of 11. And it could be like 8:30, right? But she had had enough, right? So that's how we kept it, because now we tell people what people think it is, that it's like the end of the day of traditional publishing. So that, you know, the jig's about up. But yeah, it's a tongue twister. That's why I just go with magsites.com. But there is a story behind of 11 Media.
Nice.
Okay. All right. So he's the founder and CEO of 11 Media, the creator of Mag Titan, and the creator of the Ad Einstein Suites of Software. He is Larry Jenkins. Did I say that correctly, Larry?
You got it. Okay. And it's been wonderful to be with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Along today's journey, we've discussed digital marketing, creating content, networking, and mentoring. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my guest, Larry Jenkins. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's MR Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.